Blog Talk Radio.
Madden voice. 3, 2, 1, now.
How about them Cowboys?
I don't really think you heard me. Let me try this one more time.
How about them Cowboys?
I got more to play than just that. Hold on. I got to be fair.
I just told the guys I appreciate the spirit and energy in which they fought. Please don't talk to me about moral victories and things of that nature. That'd be disrespectful to those guys in the room. We didn't get the job done. We came up short. We accept responsibility for that. You know, we will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December because we have to.
We are the Bears, the shuffling crew, shuffling on down to the police. We're so bad, we know we're good, blowing your mind like we knew we would. You know we're just strutting for fun, strutting our stuff for everyone. We're not here to start no trouble, we're just here to do the Super Bowl show.
Well, they call me Sweetness, and I like to dance. Running the ball is like Mickey Moe, man. We had the goal since training camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl champ. And we're not doing this because we're greedy. The Bears are doing it to feed the needy. We didn't come here to look for trouble. We just come here to do the Super Bowl show.
Okay, enough of that. Why am I playing these sound bites? All three of our teams won. But what, come on now. You walk away from this weekend, and all you can do is say this.
How about them Cowboys?
I'm just saying, that's all you can do is say this. Okay, I've had my fun. I think I'm one co-host short again. But let me bring on my other two hosts. I believe I have JB, and I believe I have K-Star. Gentlemen, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Ooh-wee, what a week two.
What's up, fellas? Definitely crazy week two.
My goodness.
Yes. You know. Sorry. What's your team's record?
2-0.
Okay. Why don't you sound like a guy whose team is 2-0? You sound like you sound like you just walked into like church or something. Where's your happiness? Where's your emotion? It's fucking football. Your team is 2-0, and you're like, "Hey, fellas, what a week, what a weekend, huh? What the fuck, man? It's football.
Hey,
your team is
I had to migrate to a different room because the daughter was sleeping too close to me, so I had to, you know,
look,
center myself or calm myself down a little bit.
Let me say, I work for a guy. He's kind of an asshole. But I used to work for this guy. And when I was late for work, you know what he would say to me? He would say, "You had from last night when you got home to figure out how you was going to be on time to work today." That's what he used to say to me. And I still think he was an asshole. But he was right. But you done had from last Tuesday night to figure out how you was going to be on the show and be able to show us some emotion and not wake up and interrupt your lovely daughter. You had all week to figure that out. hour into the show, I was like, hey, fellas, how you doing? All right, let me try JP. Maybe JP can bring a Slimmy Mo sense. I know Train would if he was on, but, you know, he ain't on, so I don't know where he's at. But, JP, you got some emotion for us?
In the words of Stone Cold Steve Austin,
oh, hell yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, man.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
You know?
Okay.
What
did the team win
out of here? Hey man, you can't give me more crap than you can Train. At least I'm here. Damn it.
And you, for what? What's the purpose?
Hey fellas, my team's undefeated, but how y'all doing?
You know, you sound like your team lost.
Bro, we won. We're good. What the hell?
Yeah, y'all put on screening. Man, this radio, man. This ain't sign language. You know what I'm saying? Your Steelers are 2-0 and looking good. The Cowboys came back from dead, buried. And if there's anybody, although there is one person on Twitter who's a Cowboys fan, who she actually did, it's a female, I can't remember her name, but she's a Cowboys fan, and she actually did say, mark my words, the Cowboys are going to win this game. I actually treated her back when I said, you need to go play fireball. Because she's probably the only one on the planet who thought the Cowboys were going to win that game. I know I did. I know I was already waiting for to 0-2 and, Cowboys overrated, Stephen A. Smith with Cousin Steve and all that bullshit. And I was like, oh, man, it's going to be a long week. Cowboys going to lose this game, 0-2, going to Seattle, in Seattle next Sunday, America's Game of the Week, 4:30. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to hear it all week. Why'd they bring in Mike McCarthy? He's no better than Jason Garrett. Overpaid athletes. I'm going to hear it all week. And then Atlanta gives us a gift. Atlanta says, no, we don't know how to handle prosperity. We don't know how to close out a team that they had really beat us pretty good most of the game. I mean, they really just had. And I'll tell you, how Dan Quinn is still employed is beyond me. You know, I mean, y'all have probably have heard all the stats. 440 teams.
Mm-hmm.
440 have scored 39 points and no turnovers since 1933. When they started tracking turnovers. Now, Keith, you know, your math is a little tardy. That's 87 years. And your team is the first one to blow it. And you do it to the Dallas Cowboys. You lose to America's team. You lose to, I mean, if there's one team that people love beating on, is Dallas. And you lose. I don't know how Dan Quinn still has a job. But let's talk, you know, you don't start with the Cowboys. I'm starting with the Cowboys because it was the game of the weekend. I mean, there's a lot of games. We'll talk about some of the other games. But I have to start with this game. So, JB, okay, so we're happy, right? You know, we're happy. We got to win. At the end of the day, that's what counts. We got to win. But how do you – and I'm not trying to bait you. I want truth from you. I want the honest. Okay, not that you would not be honest, but, you know, how do you feel? I mean, the truth. How do you feel after that should have been a loss? How do you feel?
Honestly, just thankful because, like you said, it should have been a loss. The fact that we kept shooting ourselves in the foot, can't hold on to the ball, acting like it's reaching in and grabbing a greased pig for crying out loud. It was probably the most horrific first quarter of football I can recall seeing in recent memory. So to actually pull out a victory is nothing short of remarkable, a miracle, magical. But it exposed a lot of weaknesses and a lot of holes that need to get patched up quick, fast, in a hurry. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. Grateful for a victory, but more concerned about the starting of the game, more concerned about the miscues, more concerned about lack of focus, lack of execution, and that focus and execution really didn't start to kick in until the second half when urgency started to kick in. And even with all that being said, there was still lapses. It was still being down 15 with 4 minutes and change to go. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on both sides of the ball.
So I'll add this. I don't know that I'm as concerned as JB is, but I will say this. You know, when I felt, I posted some comments, some small video comments during the game. I wanted to respond in real time instead of, you know, everybody after a game has their feelings and thoughts. And I was like, you know, a football game is an emotional ride. And so I wanted to share my emotions during the game. And I didn't feel like the team was a team until about 5 minutes left in the game. I felt like the offense was doing its thing, the defense was doing its thing, and special teams was doing its thing. And that concerned me. You know, you're going forward on fourth down in your own territory, and it was almost like John Fossil made that decision on his own. And then you're going for, you know, analytics. One day somebody's going to have to explain why analytics beats common sense, because if the score is 39-30 point, which is a high probability that you will make it, you make it a one-possession game. If you go for two and miss it, it's a two-possession game. That's common sense. So why would you put the pressure on the second score? I mean, why would you put the pressure on the first score instead of the second score? The two-point conversion doesn't come into place unless you get the second touchdown. Well, you have to stop them to get the second ball back to get the second touchdown. Now, of course, Monday morning quarterback, and it worked out. It worked out because of a crazy, and we'll get to the onside kick in a minute, but I don't understand. I've watched a lot of the recaps, and I've listened to people try to explain why the analytics says you go for it. But I don't get that. I think you kick the extra point. It's an 8-point game, one possession game, and then you work to get the ball back and, you know, try to tie the score. So I don't get that. I felt like up until about 5 minutes to go in the game, I didn't feel like all three units were working. But that's fixable. First quarter, I'm not worried about the miscues because I've watched this team my entire life. I can't tell you that I've ever seen a first quarter like that. So since I've never seen a first quarter like that, I think the closest thing that I can compare that to was the 1994 NFC Championship game against the 49ers. And they jumped down 21-0 in the first quarter, ended up coming back, almost pulling that one out, lost 38-28. But that's the closest I can recall seeing to just a total implosion in the first quarter. I mean, in 4 years, now entering their fifth year together, I've never seen Dak and Zeke, never mind fumble in the same game, fumble in back-to-back possessions. Never seen it. So I'm not worried about that. But I am worried about some of the decision-making, and I do want to see that improve. I you know, John Fossil, you know, he's supposed to be such a great offensive coordinator. I don't know that I don't know about those going for it calls on fourth down, you know, in Dallas territory early in a game like that. One, maybe the pass play. I mean, a better pass, it's a first down. That run play was ridiculous. Yeah, you know, it wasn't Zeke running that ball. So there's some decisions there that I'm hoping that you know, we're only in week two. I'm hoping that those decisions improve. But what I did like was Dak Prescott looking like all-world quarterback. Did like was Zeke, as I said, now I'm hearing it everywhere, looking like Zeke of old, if you will. Looked a little slow last year. Looked a little sluggish last year. All that time down in Cabo, I don't think he ever really found his true stride last year. He's looking fast and strong. I like Aldon Smith. I like CeeDee Lamb. I like, you know, the receiving core. I like Dalton Schultz, who everyone forgot about. He's just doing what he does. Blake Jarwin's a little more athletic, but Dalton Schultz, you know, he's your typical tight end. Now everybody, I bet you how many people are going to be on the waiver wire trying to get him tomorrow. Everybody's going to try to get him now. So I'm not worried. But we do have Seattle. We have to go to Seattle next week, and that is going to be a tough game. K-Star, as a non-Dallas fan, but as a football fan, what are your thoughts on the game?
That was fucking nuts. I mean, it looks like the Cowboys were just about to get blown out. I figured they would make a comeback, for which they did, but the last few minutes of the game was insanity. I don't know what the hell Atlanta was doing, washing the ball, onside kick. But actually, way prior to that, I didn't understand what the hell Dallas was doing earlier in the game when they called up. Was it two fake punts?
Yeah.
Is that right? Two fake punts? Okay.
Yeah, it was two.
Yeah. I was just, you know, if you're going to go for it, I mean, might as well just go for it, right? Like, Dallas' offense is awesome, so. But it was just a super entertaining game.
Well, you know, I think the element of surprise, you can't discount the element of surprise, though. I can understand at least one of them.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I can understand one, but two, damn, bro.
Yeah, two, I didn't get two.
Yeah, it was a great game. It was just a great game as a fan to watch.
Yeah, it was a great game. It was a great game because we won. I may have canceled the show had we lost, because 0-2 is no fun. 0-2 is no fun. But anyway, and in case, you know, I mean, I don't know if you guys heard.
How about Tim Cowboy?
All right. There were a lot of injuries. People are going to be scrambling on the waiver wire tomorrow, because there were a lot of injuries throughout the league. I guess my question would be, if you could pick one injury and say that this injury is going to have the biggest impact, what injury would it be? Now, hear the question. The biggest impact, what injury would it be? Let me ask JB.
Well, that's a good question, because there were so many daggone injuries to try and keep track of. It's like half the football league just went down. I would have to say the Bosa injury to the Niners myself. I think the Garoppolo injury is one thing, because obviously quarterback is the most important position. But number one, he's not going to be out the entire year, Bosa is. And we know how much of a havoc he can wreak. And then he's really the anchor of that defensive line for the Niners. And it's going to take the defense more so than the offense. They've got some skilled players on offense, don't get me wrong. But I think the strength and core of that team is in their defense, and he's the leader of that defense. I think with him going down, it's going to put more pressure on the offense to get points on the board. It's going to put more pressure on the defensive players to put pressure on the opposing quarterback as well. So I would say Bosa, for me, would be the most impactful injury.
Okay, that's fair. K-Star, you got one?
God, there's so many. Bosa's already taken, so I guess I'll skip on Bosa. I don't want to say Saquon. I mean, as far as fantasy football goes, I guess Saquon Barkley. Yeah, definitely Saquon Barkley, because he's out for the whole year. As far as real life goes, I don't know. I mean, there's just so many big ones. It sucked to see Courtland Sutton go down, because he apparently tore his ACL and MCL. That happened versus Steelers, actually on an interception return. And while that doesn't have massive ramifications, you know, he's not like a superstar. He was a really good young receiver, and just such a brutal injury. And there's just so many this past weekend. I mean, I can't really narrow it down to one. I would have picked Bosa personally from a football perspective, but from a fantasy perspective, I'll go with Barkley for sure.
Yeah, I didn't ask fantasy at all, because it's fantasy. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But and I think football wise, yeah, I don't think you can say Saquon, only because I don't think there's a Giants that there was much expectation that the Giants were going to go anywhere. I think Bosa's a solid pick. I'm going to go with McCaffrey, and I don't think – I think Bosa is probably the best because you have a team that was in the Super Bowl last year, and, you know, Bosa's, you know, he's a phenom. I mean, might be the best defensive player in the league outside of maybe Aaron Donald. I mean, he's that good. So I think the Bosa one is probably would be the one, but if I'm not going to duplicate – and I might go with McCaffrey because, you know, certainly that team, you know, he's, you know, for them to have any chances to do anything, he's a main catalyst on that team. Like, he's a workhorse. He's the juggernaut. He's the modern-day Emmitt Smith, if you will. And for him to be out 4 to 6 weeks, you know, by the time he gets back, it may be too late. They may not be able to recover. So certainly McCaffrey is one. I think the interesting thing about Bosa is there's so many injuries on that team. His is certainly season ending, but that team got beat up pretty good, and now I guess they filed a complaint or looking, you know, went to the NFL because of playing in New York, and now they have to go back and play in New York next week, and they think that there's something up with that turf. So keep an eye on that to see if anything comes of that. But yeah. And I think, you know, we are getting great quality football. I think the quality of the games considering is really strong, but this is what we're seeing now after 2 weeks is exactly what people were fearful of when you say, you know, no training or reduced training camp and no preseason. I mean, certainly, preseason is a double-edged sword, right? We've seen it time and time again. Season-ending injuries in preseason. But the other side of it is the conditioning part of it, the timing part of it. You know, getting your body ready to play football and those reps. You know, it's as close as you can get to a real game is the preseason, and even getting the veterans in on that week 3 just to get them ready to go and to have none of that. And then to see all these injuries after week 2, you just wonder, and none of us can, you know, you don't know, but you just wonder if there's a full training camp and there's no COVID. And even if they cut preseason to 2 games, which has been what I've been saying for years, cut preseason to 2 games, you know, have 1 game where you have all your rookies in there, you know, and you can see, you get a good sense of, you know, who's going to rise to the top and who, you know, you're either going to cut or try to get on the practice squad, and then have a game that your veterans play 1 or 2 quarters. Just something to get them, get some game speed in them and get them ready to go. But we had none of that. And man, the injuries this weekend was something. So, and you never, I mean, look at Dallas, you know, both tackles were out, you know, Van Der Esch out, Sean Lee. I mean, he's been hurt a lot, but when Sean Lee's healthy, he's an impact guy. And, JB, let me ask you a question. I'm curious what you think about this. Why has not Dallas – it's not going to happen now. I was wrong. Earl Thomas, I thought for sure by now he would be signed. If they haven't signed him by right now, he ain't getting signed because you got Seattle coming up. And, you know, what team would he be motivated to show out against but his old team? And so you're not bringing them in now, then it ain't going to happen. But am I in the minority thinking that you know, look at last week, look at the last 2 weeks, and look at the secondary, and is there something? Am I? Are we watching the same game? Would they not benefit by having someone of his caliber back there?
I mean, I believe they would, and as soon as he came available, I was lobbying and pissed. So I really don't know why they haven't, you know, signed him. When they signed Brandon Carr instead of him, that started to have the writing on the wall at that point. But I don't get it. I'm mystified by it. Obviously, they more in the know than we can be, so they must know something that we don't, because it just makes zero sense when you have a Hall of Fame caliber defensive back out there available to you for literally
pennies on the dollar compared to what you were trying to trade for him a couple of years ago. He is now available, healthy, and even if he's 85% of what he was a couple of years ago when he was first trying to get a hold of him, that's still better than a ton of defensive backs that are out there. And it's obvious that you need help with Byron Jones being gone. You got injuries in the defensive backfield. I don't understand why he's not signed by now.
Jeff Heath is gone. He was at least a stable presence back there. He's gone. Jamal Adams wanted to come. You didn't want to pull the trigger and spend the money to go get him. Okay, I understand that, you know. But you haven't had a dominant safety. I mean, some would say Roy Williams, the first couple of years of his career, he was pretty good, and then he lost his confidence, and then that was the end of that. But really, you haven't had a dominant safety back there since Darren Woodson. Let's just call it like it is. You know, so we're going back 20 years, 20-plus years as the last time, over 20 years, since you've had a guy that, you know, Steelers had Polamalu. We've seen Ed Reed. We've seen Earl Thomas. We've seen, you know, there's a lot of safeties we've seen that could do what a safety should do. Forget whether they're a strong safety or a free safety. What do you want a safety to do? You want a safety to have wide range and can cover, especially against the deep ball. And you want him, when you have eight in the box, that safety might be the eighth or ninth guy to help against the run. You know, be able to blitz off the edge. That's what you want. You know, Pittsburgh had one of the best to ever do it in Polamalu. We've seen Ed Reed. We've seen a bunch of stud safeties come in and out. Dallas ain't had one since Darren Woodson. And, okay, Earl is probably on the downside of his career. But still, as Jay said, 85% of what he would bring is going to be better than most of what you're going to get in this league. He's motivated. He's working out. I see him on Instagram working out. So I know he's out there doing his thing, staying in shape. And I don't really care that no other team wants him, because maybe the word is he's a pain in the butt. We signed Pac-Man Jones. We signed T.O. Jerry Jones did it. You know, I mean, I can go through the list of people that the team has signed that were questionable signings at the time. And yet this guy, a future Hall of Famer, and you don't give him a run. You don't even bring him in, try him out. I don't know. I don't get it. All right, let me get off my butt. Let's go to K-Star and Steelers. All right, so maybe we get a little emotion out of K-Star. K-Star, your Steelers are 2-0. Another nice win. Give us some thoughts on your Steelers. How you feeling about them? What did you see that encourages you? And then, you know, if you had to pick something that you're concerned about, what would that be?
I mean, we're kind of flawless. We are the Pittsburgh Steelers. Big Ben looks incredible.
He's flawless. He didn't say flawless.
Nah. So, definitely most impressed with both sides of the ball have been playing really well. Most impressed with the defense. They lead the league in NFL sacks and blitz and pressure rate. So, that's been pretty cool. They're just on another level this year, and really impressed with the rookie Chase Claypool. He caught the 84-yard touchdown. That guy has some serious speed and length on the outside. Reminds me of Martavis Bryant before he went crazy with suspensions and such. And also, a young man named Deontay Johnson is looking really good, really good. So I mean, receivers are looking good. Ben's looking good. Defense is looking good. My concern is offensive line. However, saying that, we lost our right tackle, starting right tackle for the season after week one, which sucked. There was a little bit of pressure on Ben in the game from Denver, and a little concerning because they actually do not have Von Miller. They lost him for the year. And so we had some offensive line injuries. We get David DeCastro back next week, all pro guard, so hopefully that helps shore it up. But so far, so good. You know, still early. I mean, I'm still a little worried about Ben's health because, you know, you never know, especially with behind an offensive line that's a little beat up. Kind of worried about the hits. But right now, Ben's playing great. He's letting it fly.
Okay. Who you got coming up this week?
This week we play – we play – oh, yeah, we play the Texans. Stop.
That's a shame. You had to think about it. You had to look it up. You had to pull up that NFL app and check.
I did.
You forgot.
I did.
Yeah.
I did forget.
I know you did. I know how that works. That's a shame. You should always know your next opponent.
I know. It won't happen again. We're playing the Texans. That should be, you never know, but I feel pretty good about that game.
You should feel good about it, but Texans have been underachieving this year.
Yeah.
0-2, and whew. This could be, in that, are you home or away?
At home.
At home. Okay. All right. You guys should be all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Train's not here, so I guess we don't have to talk about the Bears, but good for them. And that's really all he gets is good for them. So let's switch over to Cam Newton. So we're gonna keep an eye on Cam this year because he's back, he's healthy, he's with the Patriots. Let's see. But I'm curious you guys thought on a question that I heard being asked repeatedly. Different networks asked yesterday. The network repeating it. Different networks. So let me start with K-Star, the biggest Cam fan on the phone, asking, is Cam a better fit for the Patriots than Tom Brady? The round. Different networks yesterday. Because obviously Cam was a quarterback keeper away from being 2-0.
Yep.
So what are your thoughts on that question? I thought it was a very interesting one, but what are your thoughts?
I think with the current roster that New England has, Cam is definitely, and it sounds weird, but Cam is without a doubt to me the better option for that team. They don't really have a lot of weapons on the outside, and so they're going to rely heavily on the ground game. And so far through 2 weeks, they've been pretty proficient offensively. So Cam's having to create. Tom obviously cannot do that with his, that's not part of his game whatsoever. And that is for Cam. So definitely, I don't even think it's close for Cam. Just considering the weapons, if you were to throw Cam in Tampa, maybe that's a different conversation. But with the lack of great weapons on the outside, I think Cam is clearly the choice for me for a better fit for New England as it currently stands.
Okay. JB, what are your thoughts on that question?
I wouldn't necessarily say a better fit. I just think it's a different fit. And I think when you got Belichick as your head coach, he's the ultimate X factor. And he can bring out the best in just about any player, especially when you look at the quarterback position. I think about Brady with him being 43. I can't like 30, 31, something like that. So I try to think about, what was Brady like at Cam's age to try and balance it out a little bit. And again, Belichick will play to the strengths of his quarterback. So is it a good fit? I think it's a good fit. Is it a better fit? I can't say a better fit right now because we've only seen two games. I just think it's a different fit, and they've been able to utilize his strengths to other teams' advantage at this point.
So I think it's the most ridiculous question maybe in the history of football. You have a guy that won 6 Super Bowls with a team and went there 9 times, and you're asking 2 games in if the replacement quarterback is a better fit? Like
this year?
You have a guy that won
6
Super Bowls.
Well,
in 9 appearances
right,
in 20 years.
The question's right now.
Right, like, okay, so well, we have 20 years of history.
Hold on.
Versus two
aren't
games.
Aren't you, haven't you been waving a flag for Tom Brady's decline the last few years, and you're the one taking up for this answer right now?
First of all, I did let you finish. You did not let me finish, first of all. Decline is decline. He's 43. Of course he's not the same quarterback he was 6 or 7 years ago. But to compare 2 games to 20 years is asinine. Asinine. What we are seeing is an incredible head coach who knows how to adjust for his personnel. It's that simple. The reason that Cam is looking so good, one is, well, Cam is obviously uber talented. He's healthy. But secondly, they didn't put Cam in and said, run Tom Brady's scheme. Said, okay, here are your strengths. This is what Belichick said. This is what you do well. We are going to build this around what you do well. So, of course, he's going to look good. Isn't that the job of the coaching staff, is to make their quarterback look good? So, of course, he's going to look good. But when you want to ask the question about, is he a better fit from the guy that just left? I'm not talking the end of the season. I'm not talking a couple years down the road. I'm talking two games into the season. And you're going to ask, I mean, how quickly we forget? To me, it is a ridiculous question after two games. Is he a better fit? No, he's not a better fit. He just got a damn good head coach that knows how to make him look as good as he can look. But isn't that what being the best coach to ever do it? I mean, isn't that what that means? Like, when did the expectations drop because Tom Brady left? We've all sat here and said that Bill Belichick is arguably, I mean, you know, there's Bill Walsh and, you know, there's Don Shula, you know, even though he doesn't have the Super Bowl wins that Belichick has, he's got the win wins. And, you know, there's consistent coaches like Tom Landry and George Halas. And, you know, there's a lot of good coaches that someone could say, well, I don't know, I'd lean in it. For me, it's Bill Parcells. To me, the only guy to take four teams to the playoffs. I think he's the best coach ever, but that's my opinion. But he's doing what we expect him to do as the best to do it, right? So let's slow down with the anointing oils. You know, let's slow down. It's two games. You know, and that guy over there in Tampa ain't looking all that bad. You know, he looking all right. And no, K-Star, he's not the guy he was 5 years ago. But neither are you. So, I mean, you know, that's
whoa.
So you want to match?
Are you impressed,
right,
though?
Now?
Are
you?
You yeah, no, I wouldn't be the same, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah, I know you
are. Are you impressed with Cam's play so far? I thought it's been pretty dynamic, pretty great. About as best as you could hope.
I am more impressed with his attitude. I never ever questioned his talent. I have never questioned his talent. I always questioned his leadership and his attitude. His leadership was questionable. Attitude at times was terrible for a guy who's a Heisman Trophy winner, who's a national champion, number one pick in the draft, league MVP, went to a Super Bowl. And to have that kind of crappy attitude just didn't make sense. He has a good, solid attitude so far. They're 1-1. You know, I don't see any of the Cam that I saw under Ron Rivera the last few years before he got injured. I don't see that guy. Maybe, you know, and I don't know. I don't know the relationship there to know why Cam became that person under Rivera. And it's too early. I don't ever see that. I don't think Bill Belichick would stand for that in a second. I think Cam would be sitting on that bench if he showed any of the crap that he showed in Carolina. So I'm very happy that his attitude is in check. And, of course, he's talented. I mean, you know, of course he's talented. We all knew that. So
well, I asked if he was talented. I asked if you were impressed with his play so far through the first couple of games.
No, because he's talented. He's doing what he's supposed to do. I'm not impressed. He's doing what he's – damn, LeBron, that was a nice dunk. he's doing what he's supposed to do. So I'm not impressed yet because he's doing – I'm happy he's healthy. So now we can judge him fairly. You know, we don't have to sit there and be like, well, he still looks injured. He looks, you know, he looks slow. He looks – you know, he's not throwing the ball deep. He's not – you know, and no, he looks totally healthy. Now we can judge him. And based on the Cam meter – you know, we're going to judge him not compared to Russell Wilson, Mahomes, or anything. We're going to judge him based on the best we've seen Cam play. And he seems, after two games, to be playing pretty close to that level that we've seen. So I'm not impressed that he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. You know, you got to do more than what you've always done to impress me. Bring something more to the – do something better. Take it up another level if he can.
Well, he's certainly outplaying that contract he has right now, which is a joke.
Oh, absolutely. But he had no choice.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was unemployed for, what, a month or so? He was unemployed. And then, you know, you get a chance to go play for Bill Belichick. You know, you take the one-year deal at minimum to get in there and play well, stay healthy, and then either Belichick will give you, you know, Belichick will pay you, or someone else will. He'll be fine. You know, he bet on himself. Right? That's what he did. He said, I feel good. I know can do this. And after two games, he's looking like the Cam that we know. But he got to give me more than what I've already seen for me to say, wow. Wow. I can't give him wow yet. I can give him, okay. Yep, that's the Cam we know. All right. You know? And to me, that is saying he's healthy. Because clearly, we know he wasn't healthy. We clearly know he was hurt. So he's got an excuse as to why he was playing poorly, because he was hurt. And he was trying to be a warrior, as a lot of these guys try to do. And that's okay. I mean, it's like I can excuse that now. But for me, it's always been about Cam as a leader, because I looked at him when he came into the NFL, that big, you know, 6 foot, 240-pound, handsome, rugged, smart, articulate, brother, like, this is a guy that could change. He could revolutionize the NFL, could make all the throws, agile, could run, could, you know, like, I saw him as, like, okay, yep, this guy could be the face of the league. Could be the first, at the time, black quarterback that's the face of the league. Now, some say Michael Vick in Atlanta may have had that, and I don't think so. I just think he was the most exciting back in those days. But could be the first black quarterback that's the face of the league. Started to get those commercials, you know, the yogurt commercials and all of that stuff. He started getting all of that, and I was like, all right. And then he showed his ass, you know, and then he made some comments he shouldn't have made, and next thing you know, and then he got hurt. You know, now we've got a whole – now in the meantime, you know, what's interesting is, so over these last few years that Cam has declined. And I don't mean that he's too old, like he can't be great again. I think he can be. But if you notice what has happened in the last 2 years of Cam kind of giving up the mantle, we've seen the rise of Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott. Oh, I'm sorry. Wasn't that our what did we call those last year, those four guys? Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. I remember the name.
Y'all don't remember. Y'all don't remember what we called them last time? Man. You remember now?
Oh, fuck yeah.
W-O. Yeah. Those were the guys that have stepped up as, you know, black quarterbacks playing well. And, you know, now Cam's got to find his way back into that mix. And I'm not necessarily trying to make this about race. I think we all know the history of black quarterbacks in NFL, right? We know the history that for years black quarterbacks never got an opportunity. So there is an emphasis on that. And so there is a reason that we look at that a little bit different than we look at Aaron Rodgers and Ben and Drew Brees and Tom Brady and these guys. There is, you know, there is a reason we kind of lump these guys together and look at them and say, wow, you know, in the past, when you said, I want to start a franchise and I want to go pick a quarterback, it was Tom Brady, it was Peyton Manning, it was Drew Brees, it was Aaron Rodgers, it was Ben Roethlisberger. All of a sudden now, when you're saying, hey, if you're going to take any quarterback and start a franchise, you could name all those, but all of a sudden now you hear, well, I don't know, I might go get Pat Mahomes. I don't know, man, I might go get Lamar Jackson. Oh, you know, I might go get Russell Wilson. I don't know many that would say Dak at this point, although I don't think he's far off from those guys. I don't think he's far off.
Same thing with Deshaun Watson. I don't think he's far off either. I think all these guys. And Cam. I think Cam can be back in that conversation very quickly. I think he can be back as considered an elite quarterback. And, yes, African-American. But I think that's going to happen in the next few weeks as long as he continues. And I think he should be thanking his lucky stars that he ended up in New England. He should send Tom Brady a nice Christmas gift. You know, send him something real nice for Christmas over at Derek Jeter's house down in Miami. All right. What else we got? Looking at our agenda for the night. So we're 2 weeks in. I'll start with JB. And you look around the league, you look at, you know, what's going on with the teams. Pick one thing that is your biggest surprise that 2 weeks in. I know it's early. Okay, I know it's early. But, you know, we start already looking at like 0-2 teams, got a, you know, what is it, 7% chance of making a playoff. So, you know, we already start formulating these opinions after 2 weeks. It's just the nature of the beast. So what would surprise you? And it could be a good surprise. Or it could be a bad surprise. But what is the thing if you said, wow, I did not see this coming? Pick one thing.
Good question. I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
I know.
Arizona Cardinals, I think, would be one of the bigger surprises, if not, in my opinion, the biggest one. The fact that Kyler Murray had a very good rookie year, had a great rookie year. But you're down in the desert. You're really not getting a lot of publicity. It's not like being on the East Coast where everybody knows exactly who you are and all the hype and everything. The further west you go, the less hype there is, just because if you're not in a major market, you're not going to get a lot of attention. But he's done a lot of great things down there, and obviously it helps to have D-Hop down there with the gift that he got from the Texans. I mean, that's my gosh. But seeing what he's done so far, and granted, their last game was against the Washington football team. We all know all about that story and what have you, but he's putting on a show. And he is damn near, shall I say, electrifying. And to be able to show the progression from the rookie year that he had, no real true offseason because of COVID, everything was kind of in disarray, and really be able to pick up where he left off and put up the numbers that he's putting up, I'm impressed with that. I'm impressed with that one.
Okay, that's a good one. I didn't even think about that one. But that's a good one. I like that. Kyler Murray, Arizona. I like that. That's a good one.
Yep.
Jelly, like, well, that. Jelly's all a right. Good one. Jelly, yes. Oh, you like Jelly? Oh, yeah. I just have you know that we are 2 months away from the Floyd brothers being reunited. Long overdue. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. This I don't know, this whole COVID thing and travel, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, well, we're 2 months away from I'm hoping that the Floyd brothers are reunited then. I mean,
there
do
you
what's
go.
Best for the fam, you know. You know where I'll be.
Well, yeah, it's both ways, because if they're got the band that they got, or supposed band while traveling and whatnot, getting into Connecticut, let's hope so. I'm with you. Trust me, I'm with you. It's long overdue.
Yeah. Okay. Is Georgia, are you guys, is there like, are you one of the banned states for Connecticut?
You
got a quarantine and all that bullshit?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, because it seemed like Georgia been leading the way with this nonsense from damn near day one, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. But was your plan? Sorry to take the show off. Was your plan to fly up, or were you considering driving?
We were probably going to have to fly, because Toya wasn't going to be able to take off as much time as she had hoped for. So we'd probably have to figure out how to fly up. But
okay,
yeah,
okay.
Damn COVID mess.
All right,
monkey things.
Well, we will see what happens as it gets closer. That's all we can do. All right, K-Star, same question. Biggest surprise this year so far?
I think it's just the really and I think you touched on it a little bit earlier. I think it's just the super high scores we've seen for 2 weeks. You know, the injuries I don't think are too much of a surprise, but the high scoring, at least it is for me, the high scoring is a bit surprising. I figured that offense, you know, usually time base would be slower to acclimate without any preseason. So I, you know, there's no real surprise from a team perspective yet. You know, the Ravens are still the Ravens. You know, there's nothing again too crazy that's happened as far as on the field play. You know, it's very early in terms from a team perspective, but overall, just from a holistic perspective, I just think it's the super high scoring we've seen in 2 weeks.
Okay. So I have one that's actually team related. And I'm curious what you guys think of my stunner, the one that I'm just, you know, really didn't expect. Not only did I not expect the Eagles to be 0-2, but I didn't expect them to look this bad being 0-2. And Carson Wentz looking terrible. I mean, he played about maybe three quarters against the Washington team. Most of the first half he did okay, and in the last six quarters, he has just looked pathetic. I mean, you know, was he the number one pick in the draft? I know he was a first round pick. I'm just trying to remember if he was number one or not. I know he was a first round pick.
You're number two.
Number what? Number two. Okay. Pick in the draft. Same draft that Dak Prescott came out of, fourth round pick. You know, and Jared Goff came out. Jared Goff was number one, right?
Yep.
Yeah. As soon as I said that, I remembered. And Eagles fans, please don't take this as me being a Cowboy fan. And I'm really not. I really don't. I try really hard not to get into the you know, I get guys on you know, Facebook and stuff, and you know, they wanna do the childish, you know, call, you know, the cowgirls and all that. I don't get into all that stupidity. I don't like the Eagles because we're rivals. So, no, I'm not going to like your team. I don't like the Giants because we're rivals. I'm not going to like your team. I don't like the Washington team because we're rivals. And you suck. I'm not going to like your team. Okay? That's part of being a fan. I'm not going to like my rivals. But I can also be objective when I have what's going on. And if you're playing well, I like Steelers. I like the Steelers. They're a rival of ours, AFC rival, but we played them three times in the Super Bowl. Why would I like the Steelers? Lost two of them. Why would I like the Steelers? But they're playing good ball. I ain't going to lie about it because I don't like the team. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to give K-Star props. I mean, your team's balling so far. You know, now I'm going to laugh when if they fall and lose. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to talk about K-Star. You know, I am. You know, that's just how it goes. But the Eagles look terrible. I mean, I have never seen a team that people thought had a chance to win the division look this bad after 2 weeks. And you can't blame it on, you know, preseason, no preseason. Yeah, everybody came in with the same amount of prep time. Everybody came in. You can't blame injuries. I'm sorry, because that's just the nature of the beast. I don't want to hear it. And your team has managed in the past to figure out injuries. Last year, you made the playoffs, and you were throwing to me. I was out. Y'all know if y'all remember, but I put on. I was playing for the Eagles last year, wide receiver, because they couldn't find nobody else. But you had nobody at wide receiver, and you made the playoffs, won the division, and made the playoffs last year. So I don't want to hear, oh well, you know, Lane Johnson and all these, you know. I don't want to hear it. Terrible right now. Terrible. And I don't want to hear right now anybody comparing them to the Cowboys. Don't do that. We played the Rams competitively and offensive pass interference call away from possibly winning that game in L.A. The Rams go to Philly and annihilate the Eagles. Beat them like they was their stepdaddy, okay? Just beat them. So I don't want to hear it right now. Don't even waste my time comparing. Dallas is right now the class of that division. Even looking as bad as Dallas has looked, they're still the class of that division. Let's just call it like it is. But for me, that is my shocker, is the Eagles looking just terrible. And I would say that would be 0-2. It's still early, but I didn't expect that either. That would be maybe my second, like, wow, 0-2? You know, guys are a playoff team? 0-2? You know? Some say the Vikings, bit of a shocker, 0-2. I don't believe in Kirk Cousins, so it's not a surprise to me at all. I've said right along, he's overpaid. Good God bless him. He got 2 years of franchise money out of Washington, and then he got the big contract out of Minnesota. Good for him. You know, he played the system and won. But he has accomplished zero in this league. Zero. Zero. To make all that money he's done made. And now it seems 0-2. There you have it.
Okay. Let's talk about the Eagles, because you wanted to know our thoughts on it before you had stated.
Yeah.
It was so let's talk about that. That surprises me too.
Is that another jelly donut? Is that a good one? Sorry.
That's a good one. You like jelly? Well, jelly is a good one because the J says this. I would definitely look at that as being up there. Because of the level of play, not so much of the record, but it's the level of play. The fact that, and maybe it was the omen being up 17 and still having Washington score 27 unanswered to beat you 27-17 to open up the 2020 NFL season, probably was the omen for what was to come for the next game, because they really didn't show up. And granted, there's injuries. The only thing you can compare Philly to Dallas is the injuries. That's really it, because both sides have been hit pretty good with the injury bug. It's how they have looked. And let's talk about Wentz for a hot second. Is he a talented quarterback? Yes. But just like the Falcons haven't looked the same since the Super Bowl with the Patriots being down 28-3, Wentz has not looked the same since he got injured in his rookie year. And everybody hangs on the fact that he had that first 13-game stretch, and everybody's waiting for that type of play to come back. That's why you keep hearing all these great things about him. Oh, he's talented, oh, this and that. Folks are waiting to see that version of Wentz come back. I'm not sure if that version of Wentz is going to come back, because we've had several years go by now, and we still haven't seen that level of play, even when healthy. Do we get stretches? Yes. Do we get glimpses? Yes. But we're not seeing consistency from him. And he's healthy now. So I don't know what the excuse is or what the issue is. I've heard he's not very coachable. He goes out and he does his own thing. He doesn't really go by the book. Whatever the case may be, he is not the same player that he was the first 13 games of his rookie season. And I think that has a lot to do with them stumbling out the blocks. I mean, granted, the defense, the injuries, all that being said, but you look at the quarterback play, and it's got to be elevated for them to be successful. And he just hasn't looked like that quarterback that everybody keeps talking about and keeps raving about. So, yeah, I agree. The way that Eagles look overall as a whole, feel bad for the Eagles fans, because they're getting less than what they expected, of course.
All right, well, I'll stop short. I will never feel bad for Eagles fans, ever. They're terrible.
I'm saying that facetiously, of course. It's facetiously saying that.
Okay, good. No.
Let's come on now. Really? Really?
Yeah. All right. Just check.
Okay. All right.
Okay. K-Star, did you have any thoughts on the Eagles? Or did Jay kind of cover it?
So, as far as Carson Wentz goes, I actually kind of have a theory. So, stylistically, his sophomore season, his second year, that's when he won MVP, or was in contention to win MVP before the injury. You know, he reminded me a lot of Ben Roethlisberger and how he played by extending plays in the pocket, shedding tackles, finding the open guy late. And since his injury, obviously he hasn't played to that standard. You know, but it makes me wonder, like, he's still trying to do those same things. He's still trying to shed defenders in the backfield, but it's just not hitting for him anymore. Like, he's not able to successfully maintain that style of play like he did that sophomore year with that level of success. And look, I have no evidence of this, but for me, it's either one or two things. One, that injury hurt him to where it must have hurt his core strength, right, to where he just is not as strong of a guy anymore as far as having a certain core and being able to shed those tackles like he used to. Or B, this is, again, just a theory, he had to have been on HGH or something, guys. Like, there's just no way. Like, he's doing the same thing stylistically. He's not able to break those sacks anymore. He's not able to extend the play like he did. He's so young. It doesn't make any sense. Only thing that's happened is he got injured, so it's more likely that, you know, maybe he just lost some strength from that injury that he was not able to regain. Or, you know, maybe the dude was on HGH or something. I don't know. But it's noticeable that he's definitely not getting the same success while still maintaining the same play stylistically. I just think it's odd. Too young for that to not, you know, for it to be an issue.
Maybe he's got a case of the yips, as they call it in basketball. And maybe ever since then, he's just been looking out of one side of his ear hole a little bit because he's worried about getting hurt like that again.
I don't know.
Hear one of the commentators
like still doing
say
the same thing.
They think that he's seeing ghosts out there. I have not heard anybody speculate on like HGH or anything like that. That's an interesting theory. I have heard talks about him not being the leader that Nick Foles was in a locker room, and that could be coming back to bite him in the butt. And I've also heard the same thing that Jay mentioned about he changes the plays. He kind of does what he wants out there. And that could also be coming back to bite him in the butt. Whatever it is, I mean, keep doing it, because, you know, don't change. Don't listen to our show. We don't know what we're talking about. Just you know what? You're playing wonderfully there, Carson. You're playing wonderfully. Keep it going. Yes. So real quick before we get on out of here, because I really, you know, Denver is giving LA all they can handle right now, but something tells me that LA is going to come back and win this game. Just something tells me, even though it's a 14-point second quarter right now, basketball. But real quick, I kind of want to glance through the Sunday games and just give everyone a heads up on what's coming, because, you know, you got some pretty good matchups here. I'm only gonna touch on the ones that I think are worth noting. The Raiders, surprising. I had to one of my very close friends, JB, knows him, Chuck. He actually listens every once in a while, he tells me. So if he's listening, well, first, thanks for listening, Chuck. And he's a Raiders fan, lifelong Raiders fan. And, you know, that team looked pretty good last night against Drew Brees and the Saints. So they're 2-0, and they're coming up here. I wonder if he's going. I don't even know if the Patriots are having fans, though, so maybe it's not even an option. Okay, anyway, Raiders at the Patriots. So that should be an interesting game, a good game, actually. The 0-2 Texans are going to play the Steelers. We talked about that one. That should be an interesting game. Bengals and the Eagles. Call this an elimination game. They're both 0-2. I don't know that the Bengals have any expectations, but if they're actually able, you know, that quarterback there, Burrow, he doesn't look bad. He doesn't look bad.
No,
let's see what they're able to do. Yeah. I'm sorry?
He is the real deal. I was impressed watching that Browns-Bengals game with his play. Granted, they didn't get the victory, but the poise that he had, I was very impressed. He is definitely the real deal.
Yeah. So I think even though they're both 0-2, it's almost like, you know, and again, Eagles had expectations, the Bengals didn't, but whoever loses at 0-3, your season's all but over. I mean, you're just, you know, teams don't come back from 0-3 and make the playoffs. It just doesn't happen. So a Viking team that had a lot of expectations, they're 0-2. They go play a Tennessee team that, you know, talking about a guy that's really coming into his own, late bloomer, but he's Tannehill. He's really showing us something. It wasn't that long ago that I know I was ripping him apart for not being a very good quarterback. Well, he's pretty good now. And they're going to Minnesota. And if Minnesota goes for 0-3, there's another one. You might as well, you know, I mean, obviously it's not impossible, but you really are digging yourself a hole. I don't really care about that game because maybe the team's going anywhere. Rams at the Bills, both 2-0. Be a good game in Buffalo. Weather's a non-factor because it's still September.
So that should be a good game. Goff's playing. I have Goff on my on the other fantasy team as he's sitting on the bench, but I may have to take him. I may have to start him. We'll see. Goff's starting to look good again. And what's his name? Buffalo's quarterback. Pretty good quarterback.
Josh Allen.
So, you know, battle of two young up-and-coming quarterbacks. Huh?
Yeah. Stephon Diggs certainly helping Josh Allen's development, too.
Yeah. No doubt. We got the Bears at the Falcons. Falcons go to 0-3. It's over. Bears 2-0. Train's not here. Sorry, Train. Yeah, I'm going to give you a whole segment about the Bears, but you didn't make it. Here's an interesting, and not really the Panthers part of it, but the Chargers. Talk about having a dilemma. Mm. That backup quarterback, Herbert, is that his name?
Herbert. Yep.
he was pretty good. Herbert. Herbert looked pretty good. So it's going to be interesting if what's the name? Tyrod Taylor is healthy. Where do they go? Do they, you know what I mean? It's going to be interesting. So that's kind of the storyline on that one. Panthers, I mean, they're 0-2. They don't have McCaffrey. I don't expect much. I really don't. I don't care about that game. You know, Tom Brady's going to Denver. 1-1 to play the 0-2 Broncos. Their quarterback, is he out? Drew Locke,
yeah.
Is he out?
For about a month and a half.
Okay. All right, so Brady will go to 2-1. So that's that. Lions 0-2. They're going to Cardinals. Jason's surprise team, and I actually agree. Pleasant surprise. Kyler Murray, a little undersized, but playing really well. You got a lot of 0-2 teams that could see 0-3 and really pretty much all but nail in their coffin for the season. And here's another one. A really good game for Sunday Night Football is the Packers at 2-0 at the Saints 1-1. We already know. People underestimate Drew Brees, and especially his competitiveness. And he didn't play very well last night. So expect him to come back fired up at home, ready to play. And he's playing, you know, we saw how they did against the Bucks, right? So now he's playing another all-time great, Aaron Rodgers. That's going to be a good game Sunday night.
Mm.
But the main event for this weekend, I mean, the Cowboys got the Seattle. We talked about that already. That's going to be a very good game, 4:30 on Sunday. I expect that to be a really good game. But you know, Cowboys and a lot of these good games, Packers and Saints and these other, man, y'all know Monday Night Football. Y'all know that's the game. The Chiefs at the Ravens. I mean, that is the game of the week. Let's take a couple minutes to talk about that, and then we can get on out of here. Let's start with K-Star. What are your thoughts? And, hey, make a pick. We haven't done picks in a while. Your thoughts on the game? Who do you think is going to win?
Great game. So before I get into that, I just want to say that the Monday Night Football announcing crew this year is like a million times better. Lewis Riddick is awesome. So I'm very excited about the overall. He's great. So I'm excited about the overall Monday Night
Football part
this year.
I'm sorry, Jason Witten, but you're not made for the booth, bro.
Nah.
The booth is not his thing. They need to take Jason Witten and put him in studio. I think he'll do fine in studio, you know. But you know, in the booth, nah, not his thing. So anyway, go ahead. But I agree. I think that I love Lewis Riddick. I don't know why he didn't get a GM job. Guy's so smart.
Yep.
It's sickening. Sickening how smart that guy is.
It's incredible.
Anyway, good. Yeah. Go ahead. Okay, sir.
Yeah. As far as the actual game goes, of course I'm biased. I want the Chiefs to win. I think they do. So
remember now,
you know,
we always
really
separate who we want to win from who we think's going to win. We always separate those.
Yes.
Things.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Absolutely.
All right. All right.
I mean, you know, I have like three Ravens on my fantasy team, so, you know, it is what it is. You know, the Chiefs, it's tough to know what to expect. I expect a high-scoring game. It can go either way. I think turnovers are going to play a role in the game. But, you know, I really like – how do you not like Patrick Mahomes? Oh, God, it's so tough. How do you not like either of these offenses? I think it's just going to come down to who can field the bigger plays. I'll take Patrick Mahomes over Lamar in that area. He just seems to be a guy that does it over and over again, no matter the deficit, if they, you know, do fall. I like the addition of Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the backfield. Gives them a dynamic player that they didn't have last year in the backfield. And the Chiefs' defense looks pretty good. I mean, again, just through two games, but their pass rush is really has been really strong. They're going to need that versus Keen Lamar. So, I'm just going to think it's going to be a three-point sort of game. It's going to be a high-scoring game. Whoever, you know, can limit the turnovers will win. I'm going to edge it out with Kansas City. I just think that they have a more complete team. And I believe this is being played in Kansas City.
It's in Baltimore. So, she's still picking Kansas City?
Mm. Yeah. I think it's disrespectful. By the way, I think it's disrespectful in all seriousness for Kansas City to be the underdogs here. They are the defending champions. They haven't lost a game. I mean, that's just – they're 3.5-point underdogs. That's crazy.
Yeah, but that's about what – I mean, if you look at the fact that the Ravens are also undefeated and they're home, I mean, 3 points is pretty much – that's saying it's a pick 'em game. You give the home team 3 points, roughly, because they're home. Now, you know, is Vegas taking into consideration that most of these stadiums aren't having live fans and they're having piped in noise? I don't know if Vegas is considering that or not when they're doing their spread. I don't have that answer. But I know historically the home team, they're going to get 3 points. So I would say, in fairness, that's probably a pick 'em, and that's probably about right. That's probably about right. So, all right, JB, your thoughts on this mega game, Monday Night Football?
Yeah, this is we need to have like games that we consider a jelly donut game, because this is definitely a good one. I mean, this.
Yeah, nobody outside of you and me, and maybe K-Star. K-Star is a WE fan, so he might know this skit. Nobody else would even know what that meant.
Well, they'll just have to Google it, and damn it, they'll just have to Google it.
They'll have to Google it. There you go.
Yeah. Before I give my info on this one, I just want to piggyback on what K-Star said. I think Lou Riddick is doing a fantastic job, and I agree, T. Why he's not a GM boggles my mind, because every time I listen to him, when it was Goldie and Wingo, when they do Sports Center, whatever, he is always on point with his analysis, and he breaks it down. So kudos to him. Doing a great job along with the rest of the group there. Great job. As far as this game goes, I'm going to take the Chiefs only because of the fact that there's no fans that are going to be in attendance, or it's going to be minimalized. I mean, if they are allowing fans, it's probably going to be, what, 20-25% at most. But I'm going to take the Chiefs for that reason. But I feel as though when you look at the two offenses, and we're in an offensive-minded league right now, they just have one too many weapons. If weapon A doesn't get you, weapon B will. If A and B doesn't get you, C will. They just have one too many weapons for the Ravens. I feel like this is going to be an extremely close, competitive, hard-hitting game, one possession type of deal. The 3 points, I agree to you. It certainly is a pick 'em, but it's going to be the Chiefs in an absolute nail biter.
Okay, so we have two Chiefs. Well, you know what that means. It means I got to go with the Ravens. And I am going to go with the Ravens. I saw some kinks in the Chiefs' armor against the Chargers, which that actually was a really good game. But I saw some chinks in their armor. I saw a defense that, you know, really stood up to Pat Mahomes for most of the game and made Pat Mahomes very uncomfortable back there. And you know, we already know Harbaugh is a defensive mind, and you know, I think he's gonna, you know that now this isn't the same Ravens defense from the Ray Lewis Ed Reed era, but you don't need Hall of Famers to get pressure. You need guys that understand how to beat their one-on-one matchup, shoot gaps. You know, you guys know how to follow a scheme, and I think Harbaugh's got the mind. I think they're going to watch that film, and they're going to say, that's our ticket, guys. And it's really, if you think about it, when we talk about great quarterbacks over the years, the one thing we've always said on this show and many other shows is, you know, we said it about Tom Brady all the time, right? We've said this. If you want to win, that quarterback uncomfortable. Now, we know that Mahomes is mobile. We get it. He's mobile. But so is Lamar Jackson. Frankly, I think Lamar Jackson's a better runner than Patrick Mahomes, okay? They're both can they'll pick the ball up and run in a second. But they know that. The defenses know that. I just something tells me that Kansas City, even though they came back and won, it wasn't quite what we all expected. And they showed a human side that I think Baltimore and Harbaugh, who's a great Super Bowl, you went to the Super Bowl, and I think it's time. Kansas City has to lose a game to get this whole we're going to go undefeated thing out of the way, and then they're going to put the foot down and probably table after that, maybe lose one more. I see them going 13-3, 14-2. Barring any major injuries, I see that. But I think this is going to be the one they lose. I think Baltimore's going to step up, and I think Lamar Jackson's going to go off. I think he's going to go off Monday night, and I'm excited. I can't wait. I almost want to see this game. I mean, I don't want to see it more than my Cowboys, but it's in that same discussion of the Cowboys. You know, I really, obviously, that's the game I want to see, and Dallas, and just one quick thought on the Dallas-Seattle game, just because I can. Before people start, putting Dallas, saying, well, you lost the first game, and you should be 0-2. Slow your roll. A pass interference call, and maybe Dallas wins the first game. So things even out. If you think they survived a miracle in game two, okay, I'll give you that, and I agree with that. But I still don't think that pass interference should have been called. And now, Dallas could have scored a touchdown and won, or kicked a field goal, send in an overtime and won. So they would have had a very good chance to win that game had that call not happened. The call happened, they lose. Okay, this weekend, you got guys standing around, and we didn't really talk about it because I don't know what there is to say, but Guga Muga, I mean, guys, literally, if you look at the screenshot I put to advertise the show, you can see the guy just standing there watching the ball. It is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. It really is. But that said, Dallas has historically played Seattle tough in Seattle. Beat them a few years ago in Seattle when it was unexpected. They have played Seattle tough. I don't know what it is, but Seattle always comes in, generally speaking. They're considered to have a better team. Russell Wilson considered to be a better quarterback than Dak Prescott and all of that. I keep an eye on Dallas, maybe getting some momentum off of this win and putting it together, correcting some mistakes, and giving Russell Wilson more than he can handle. They haven't been able to figure out consistently how to get to the quarterback yet, but they have the pieces. So, and from what I hear, Tyron Smith is going to be back, which is huge for the offense. And even without him, they scored 40 points. Yeah, they said, the neck thing was like a stinger, so he should be good to go. But and they still scored 40 points without either of their starting tackles. And let's not forget they have a new center. Travis Frederick retired. God bless him. Hope he's doing okay. Let's not just act like Dallas is going to go to Seattle and roll over and play dead. It's going to be a good game. And I honestly think Dallas has a good chance to go in there and get an upset. Now, you want to talk about disrespect. Dallas is, Seattle's favorite like by 5.5. Really? It's kind of a big spread, if you ask me. Especially since they don't have, there's no fans. I could see that if the 12th man was going to be there. I could see that. There's no fans. There's no fans. So the home field advantage is limited. Dallas at least had 27,000 fans in attendance. Jerry Jones was like, oh, no, we're going to have people in this stadium. I'm making me some money. Jerry said, y'all going to social distance, wear your mask, all that good stuff, but I'm having people in this stadium. So I make myself laugh. All right, guys, anything else? Did I miss anything? Anything else? Any burning topics that you guys want to cover before we get on out of here?
No, okay.
I'm good on my side. I think we covered it all.
Next week, let's see which teams are 0-3, and we can talk about coaches on the hot seat.
There will be no show next week because it will be the first debate next Tuesday night.
Ooh, that's right.
So, well, let me not say there will be no show next week. There will be no show Tuesday night. I'll text you guys, and if there's another night, even if it's just a half an hour and we just do something as a crew, even if it's a shorter show, I'm okay with that. Maybe Wednesday night, maybe Monday night, before Monday night football, if we want to touch on, you know, I don't know, give it some thought now, and let's see if we could find another night, even if we have to do a shorter show. But Tuesday night, I'm going to be all in this debate. I ain't touching no football Tuesday night. I want to see this. I am anxious to see this, as much of the country is. So everybody watch the debate, okay? We're not going to be on the air. I know I can hear the people crying and people, you know, being upset and you know, I can hear it. I really do. But, you know, it's just, you know.
It's my quarterback.
Now, Tony, you guys can point the finger at him. You can talk about the vacation. And if you do that, it's really unfair. It's really unfair. It's my team. It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost to the team.
Okay, so he wasn't crying about the Madden voice, but he was crying anyway. T.O. crying. Anyway, yeah, so no show at all Tuesday night. Get your popcorn ready, as T.O. would say. Get down, get in your comfortable chair, your couch, get in your comfortable position, and watch what should be a very entertaining and very informative debate Tuesday night. I'm looking forward to it. And Chris Wallace, if you're going to have a Fox News host, he is the one to do it. He would be the only one. Well, I don't know. That Tucker guy isn't bad. Tucker Carlson over there, he's not too bad. But Chris Wallace would be the guy. He's about the only guy over there. In case y'all don't know, he's from the Mike Wallace tree. He's got journalism in his blood. Okay, journalism in his blood. And that's why he's not your typical Fox News host. That's why he's more down the middle. You know, he kind of calls it like he sees it. So I'm very pleased that he's going to be moderator for this debate, because I believe that he's not going to stand for any junk for either side. You know, not that, you know, well, anyway, I don't want to get all into it, but I think it's going to be good. So make sure everybody watches the debate tonight, and we'll come up with another night to try to do a short, even if it's a shorter version of a show. And I think, Jay, I think your idea is excellent, to talk about 0-3 and what coaches might be on the hot seat. I think that's perfect. So we can touch on that next show. So, all right, that said, I don't know what happened to Train. I hope he's okay. I know his job is demanding. I like to poke fun that he just blew us off, but I get it. You know, work comes first always, and, you know, work and family always are going to come first before, you know, a hobby. So it's no real problem. But JB, why don't you go first, your final thoughts and any other comments you might have before we get out of here.
Final thoughts, real simple. Let's not be prisoners of the moment. We talk about Brady, we talk about Cam, we talk about other players out there and other teams. We don't do it on this show, or at least we try our best not to. At some points we're guilty of it, but I get tired of seeing folks on TV, and as soon as someone breaks a nail, that they're off and running. It's week number two. Let's see how everything plays out. Take it week to week and see how it goes. We've got great football. I've been impressed with the level of play, given the fact that we're in unprecedented times and no training camps or no preseason. I mean, let's enjoy each week as it comes, and we can break down what we see when we see it. But
this whole prison of the moment thing has got me a little vexed. So hopefully folks will minimize that, start listening to what we say on the Madden Voice because we know what the hell we're talking about, and let's just go from there.
Well said, and totally agree. K-Star, final thoughts, comments before we get on out here.
Yeah, looking forward to that Monday Night Football game. That should be probably game of the year, you would imagine. So I cannot wait to see the Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson show. Go Chiefs.
Okay. Thank you much. I do want to say this. I want to thank my girlfriend. She's listening tonight, and she pretty much listens every week. And I just want to let her know that I appreciate it. I appreciate the support. You know, she's a moderate football fan. She's not a fanatic like we are, but she is a fan, and she you know, listens weekly and supports me and us. And I want to say thank you to her for that. I really appreciate it. You know, I'm still trying to get over the fact that she had kind of implied that if Tom Brady was single, you know, I'd be in trouble. Trying to get past that a little bit, you know, that she would actually dump me for Tom. I mean, who's Tom Brady? So what? He's tall, handsome, wealthy. So what? You know, I'm tall. Okay, anyway. but I just want to thank her. I want to thank her. Shut up, Jake. I want to thank her.
You know what? And not to cut you off, T, but I got to say also thanks to my wife, too, because she listened last week and, she even asked for the number, and she may have been listening to the show tonight also. So you're spot on, okay. And I need to echo that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think Train has been alienated about that. If y'all recall, I can say this because he's not on the show. He could be listening. I doubt it because if he's listening, he'd probably call in. But if you recall, I won't get into too many details, but Train kind of had a little bit of a bad experience in the past with having a significant other listening on the show. We'll just leave that right there. And so I don't know that we'll be seeing much from him on that, but that's okay. You know, that's okay. I don't have that experience. My girlfriend has listened over the years many times, and I appreciate it. I do. Shouldn't have to listen. You know, if she was doing a show on cooking, something that she does extremely well, but I don't know that I could sit and listen to it. Honestly, I'd probably be like, okay. I probably would do it. I'd probably do it because I love to eat. All right, anyway, I really appreciate JB's comments. We kind of have said that in the past. We haven't touched on it much this year, but it is right on to kind of just remind people. I think one of the things, I mean, hey, you know, we're just four guys that love football. And this whole thing started with Dr. Train and me. You know, I used to work out in another part of the state, and I'd have long drives to and from the office. And Train and I would be on the phone, you know, most of the ride talking football. And when I had my falling out with the Madden community and decided it was time to go, and I had a lot of people ask me to come back and continue the Madden Voice, I said I would. But I'm going to focus on football and much less on Madden. Now we really don't even talk Madden much on this. I mean, the game came out and it was like, yeah, okay, whatever. We don't even really talk about it much. I don't really have much to say about the game or that community anymore, but I love talking football. And, you know, I think that we do it the right way. We aren't prisoners of the moment. We aren't making year-long or life, you know, a season-long reactions based off of 1 or 2 weeks. You know, I mean, if you recall when Dak became a starter in Dallas and we were talking about, you know, whether he should remain a starter, should Tony come back? I was the last holdout. Everybody else had Tony retired and playing golf, and I was like, Tony should come back and take over this team. Like, I refuse to be, you know, to let 2 or 3 weeks dictate my season. I refuse. So I think Jay hit it right on the head. You know, there's too many shows that do that. I mean, the question that I think you guys got the point, I think even K-Star finally understood where I was going, is after 2 weeks, you ask if Cam Newton is a better fit than
Tom Brady. It's ridiculous. Maybe down the road, yeah, okay. Let's get a bigger sample size. Two games? Come on. And that's what they do. You know, it's what they do. Now, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I did say Carson Wentz was looking terrible because he's looking terrible. Did I say they should bench him? Did I say that his career, you know, is on the decline, although Doug Peterson said something similar to that, you know, something along the lines of maybe he's on the downside of his career or something like that. I didn't hear it, but I heard the interpretation. I'm like, huh? But we don't do that here. We try to be reasonable. I hate to use these words, but these the words that come to mind, but don't go too far with them. But fair and balanced just come to mind. And that's what we try to be. Like, okay, let's talk real about what's going on in the NFL. Keep it real. And that's what we try to do. So thanks again to JB for making that very, very salient point. And can't wait for Monday night. But in the meantime, can't wait for Sunday. You know, Sunday football is back. It's still looking good. And I got to be honest, when I'm watching the game, other than when they, you know, do the wide shot and I get reminded that there's no fans, I don't really remember that there's no fans. I really don't. I'm into the game, 3rd and 10, and, you know, what are you going to do? I kind of don't really remember. So NFL's doing an excellent job after 2 weeks. Production value is very high. As I gave the NBA a lot of credit, I will give the NFL after 2 weeks incredible amount of credit to, you know, almost make us forget that there's no fans in the stadium. Almost. So good job, NFL. Keep up the good work. And most importantly, everybody out there, NFL fans, basketball fans, people out there, you know, we're getting into September now. We're getting fall just came and hit us, I think, this morning. I think up here in Connecticut, we got 30-something degree weather last night. And, you know, it's you know, you start get that. The leaves are going to start changing, and, you know, it's coming now, and flu season's coming, and come on, everybody. I don't want to see more deaths. I don't want to hear about, especially people that I know and I love and I care about. Everybody be safe. Wear your mask, okay? Please, social distance whenever possible, or just stay home, you know, just stay home. And if you got to go out, get everything done, and then stay home. You know, we need people to be safe. We need to keep this thing under control till they actually get a vaccine. I don't know when that's going to be, next month, next week, next year. But in the meantime, come on, everybody. Wear your mask, social distance, wash your hands. Let's not let up. Let's not let this thing win. Okay, let's not let the virus do what we need to do. Please, for your sake and for the people that love you sake. There's 200,000 people that are gone. I don't want to see that go up to 400,000. Okay, everybody? All right, with that said, for the absent Dr. Train, for the JB was on point tonight. Boy, AK Star, JB was on point tonight.
No, he was on it, man.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Maybe he took some HGH or something because he was, you know, bro was kicking
you
tonight.
You took Carson's HGH.
Truth be told, I finally a weekend to just chill out, with the exception of the first half of Saturday. Second half of Saturday and Sunday, I got a chance to just chill and watch football. So I got to say thanks to the wifey. She just let me do my thing, and, man, it felt good. It felt good as hell just to chill and watch some games.
Good. Good. Well, I hope there's more of that for you. Excellent. Tell everybody I said hello. We all said hello up here in Connecticut. So for JB, for K-Star, and for Dr. Train, we will be back. Don't know when. At some point next week, we will be back. Watch the debate Tuesday night. Register if you're not registered to vote, please register to vote. Okay, it's important. We've got a big election coming up. Okay, and in the meantime, go Cowboys. And, you know, just because, you know, y'all know what I'm gonna do before we get on out of here. I can't. I
How about them Cowboys?
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. And remember, home of the Madden Boys for all feuds. I'm still settled on the field. Good night.